And a little bit of a free-for-all with our Bible studies here for this month. And I'm just asking the Lord if He wants to give me a series, we'll carry on a series. If not, we'll continue to teach and move along headway. So it is good again to be here this evening. Good to see little Rylan here tonight. That's a blessing. Good to have everyone back. Glad Martin's here, and what a blessing. Just Carol is probably running a little bit late, I'm sure. And we'll keep her in prayer. So let's ask the Lord a blessing upon our service tonight, and then we're going to open up into two places to start out with this evening and have you turn a wee bit. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for the blessed night. Thank you for the opportunity and time to be here, Father, for Bible study evening. Lord, I pray that you'd open up and lighten our eyes. Lord, I pray that our hearts, Lord, would ponder the thought around the sermon tonight. And I just pray, dear God, that you would please be glorified in all that we do and say and everywhere we go. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. Again, we always want to pray. We want to bring to the throne of God today that you would open up the mighty doors, that the winds of heaven would bless richly and wonderfully here throughout the village, throughout Abraham, and throughout the valley, Father. We love you. We thank you for who and what you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And amen. Two places I'm going to ask you to turn to tonight. First off, I want you to turn to Mark in chapter 8, and then just hold your finger there or a bookmark or whatever, and turn back to 1 John chapter 5. I'll give you plenty of time to get there, and we'll get over this evening. Then I'm going to give you the title, and we'll go over a few things here tonight concerning the Word of God. Mark chapter 8, and you'll hold your place there, and then we'll start in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. People ask me many a times, they ask me, how do we know for certain that we are saved, that we are on the way to heaven, that we are born again in the blood of Christ? How can we be sure of these things? And I direct them many a times to 1 John chapter 5, and I'll have them read the entire chapter. But there is one main verse, right almost in the middle of the verse, the chapter, is verse 13. The Apostle John says this in verse 13, and of course he says this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, guys, here's one of the keys that we need to understand tonight. This verse is entirely inclusive, completely inclusive. It's exclusive. It is about one group of people. This is who it's directed to. Okay, it's not directed to the entire world, although it could be. It's not directed to a particular race, a particular nation, a particular tongue, a particular gender. It's directed to one group of people who's made up of a multitude of tongues, made up of a multitude of races, and of course, two different genders. He says, "These things have I written unto you," and here's the distinguishing fact, the qualifying statement, "that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, the name of the Son of God is Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, I'm writing this to you, body of people, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? So anyone who does not believe on the name of the Son of God, John is not writing to them at this present time. Anyone who believes in another name of the Son of God, if they don't believe on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, John is not speaking to them in this passage of Scripture. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God is not speaking to them in this passage of Scripture. Here is what he says. After he already singles out who he's speaking to, he says, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life." May know. I want to speak to you on this thought tonight. I want to bring this thought to you, and that's the joy of knowing. The joy of knowing. We can have joy in our life. We can have peace in our life. We can have a settledness in our life about knowing a few things if we not only study the Scriptures, but put our heart and our faith in the right area. Mighty Apostle Paul said this. He says, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some," he says. "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." In all fairness, guys, if we are going to be just honest with one another tonight, there are only a few things that we can truly 100%, without a shadow of doubt, absolutely, positively, no, for a fact. I mean, there's things in our life today that we think we can know. Here's a good example. We think we know that we're going to leave here tonight. We assume that we do. I know sometimes we come in on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night, depending on what time it is, and we see the big yellow signs on the motorway or the 470, and it says this road's going to be closed at 2000 hours. All right, and it's going to be closed to 0600 the next day. We know that their intentions is to close that lane, that road's closed, and we got to take a diversion between here and Canada sometimes, it seems, right? You know, we got to do all that. But the fact of the matter is, we think about that, and when we're sat in the church, we think, well, you know what, when I leave here tonight, it's going to be after 8 o'clock, and I'm going to take that diversion. But we don't even know if we're going to leave here tonight. We think we are. We assume that we are. And by chance, you know, in all reality, we probably will. But we cannot say without certainty this evening that we know that we're going to leave this building. We definitely can't say that we know for an absolute fact that it's going to rain tomorrow, or the sun's going to shine, or a tornado is going to hit. Or we don't know those things. We look at the forecast, and we see what is forecast, and we probably expect them. But guys, when I'm talking about absolutely, positively knowing, there's only a few things in life that we can really and truly know. We don't know if we're going to have the next day. We don't know if the next time we shake hands with our mates down the street, if we're going to have another opportunity to speak to them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know those things because those things are not promised. There's one thing we can know tonight. Without doubt, without fear, without uncertainty, without anything, any shred of hesitation or doubt tonight, we can know that we have eternal life. The distinguishing fact of knowing that you have eternal life and will live forever is that you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing else. Not your church membership, not your tithe amount, not your missions given, not your good works, your good deeds, none of those things. We know tonight we have eternal life. We believe on the name of the Son of God, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Now, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus Christ was trying to teach this fact of what had to happen in order for the world to be saved, in order for people to come to Him and be saved and born again. And He uses this verse, and we see more of this in Matthew chapter 16, but we're using Mark chapter 8 tonight. It's the same quote, it's the same idea. But Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 8 verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now Jesus Christ is seeing this on the heels of an argument, almost, if you will, that Peter was having. The Lord had shared with Peter that he must go into Jerusalem, he must be rejected, he must suffer many things, and he must die. And then He said, hey, and be risen again on the third day. Peter didn't hear that part. Peter got in between and said, "Not so, Lord, I'll die for you. It's not going to happen." And Jesus Christ said, "Listen, get behind me, Satan." Now they're all thinking about the kingdom. So the Lord said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" That's the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, we taught for quite a long time on the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Sometimes the statements are used interchangeably, but 9 times out of 10, the kingdom of God is referring to the kingdom that is with us. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a literal physical kingdom that is sat on this earth for 1,000 years at the close of the tribulation period at the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is 7 years after the tribulation period. We have taught and learned all these things over the past couple of years. So when the Lord says, What shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world? That is the kingdom of heaven, the literal physical kingdom that Israel was promised, and lose his own soul. Why? What sense does that make? It makes this. What if you were to gain the kingdom of heaven on this earth and live here for 1,000 years with no curse, no sin curse in earth, no sin, interchangeable sin in the world? The harvester is overtaking the sower. I mean, things are so great. It's like the Garden of Eden. And at the end of that 1,000 years, die and split hell wide open. Because that's what would happen if one thing did not occur, and that was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ was trying to explain to them. What's it going to profit you, man, if we bring the kingdom in and you gain this kingdom, but your sins are not paid for eternity? That's the difference. Israel's sins was paid for on a yearly basis. It was paid for on a regular basis. A neighbor would sin against his neighbor. He'd take a lamb, a calf, or a turtle dove, or whatever it was, depending on which sin it was. And it was a trespass offering, and he would come and he would offer it to the priest, and they would perform all the sacrifices and go through the rituals and burn it and take the ashes and cast them out and take the fire and put them in, do all these things just to cover that one sin. And every year, the sins of the nation was cast upon a scapegoat, and he was sent out into the Judean wilderness, a place that was known where dead things lived. And then there was the other lamb that was sacrificed. That was for the nationals. All these things happened, but they had to happen every single year. The high priest had to go into the holies of holies of the tabernacle and present and plead with God to atone for those sins every single year. So what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? He gains this kingdom and he lives in this perfect environment for 1,000 years, yet these sins have not been redeemed for all eternity. He will lose his own soul. So what we have tonight and what we have in this world today is that we have a joy of knowing this tonight. Is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Not only did he die for our sins, he rose again to give us victory over the grave. So that even the first and second death necessarily doesn't have a power over us. And I say that knowing that the first death is that of the body. And most of us will die in the body. We understand that. But there will be a group of people whenever the Lord decides to come back. And could be tonight. Because we don't know that. There's only one in all of the universe and all of creation that knows what time Jesus is coming back, and that's the Father. So when he comes back in the air to take his church home, we don't know that. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know it. We know it's going to happen, but we don't know when. What we do know tonight, and what the joy that we have in our life, and the joy that we have in what God has given us in this world, is that we know for an absolute fact that if we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that alone, we have eternal life. Curtis Hudson put it this way. He said, if you believe in 99%, I've said this before, but if you believe in 99% in Jesus Christ for your salvation and 1% in, he used the baptism in water, he said that 1% will take you straight to hell. Well, that's harsh, isn't it? But that's true. I preached a sermon years ago, and I mean eons of years ago. Matter of fact, I preached it a second time in central Nebraska when Dries and I went up there in 2003 for homecoming. And it's called Three Nails and One Cross. And the idea of that entire sermon was that men today in this world was trying to put more nails in the cross of Christ. Three nails, one cross. There's the nail of death. There's the nail of the burial. There's the nail of the resurrection. There is nothing else. There is not baptism. There is not church membership. There is not confirmation. There is not anything other kind of type of qualification for eternal life other than believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is simple. It wasn't easy because Christ had to die. But salvation is simple tonight. And guys, it's something that we can know without a shred of fear, a shred of doubt. It's something that we have the joy of knowing today. So let me ask you this question tonight, and then I'm going to move to a few more thoughts and we'll be finished. What are the things in your life tonight? Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. Do you know with absolute certainty? What do you know with absolute certainty tonight? Or if you really evaluate them honestly, before us all, I think you'd agree with me this evening that what we think we know, 9 times out of 10, is what we assume we know. I assume that I'm going to go home tonight. I assume that I'm going to go to bed tonight. I hope that I'm going to get a good night's sleep and awake tomorrow morning and have a productive day, but I don't know that's going to happen. But what I do know tonight, if none of those things happen, and by way of some tragedy or the return of the Lord, I do know I'm going home with Him. Because I can know this evening that I have eternal life simply because I believe on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You say, preacher, this is Sunday school stuff. This is easy stuff. Maybe it is. But there's a joy in knowing that, guys. There's a joy in knowing that you can't lose something that you can't earn. There's a joy tonight in knowing that we have eternal life because we believe in something that Christ did for us. We didn't deserve it. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8. You don't need to turn there. I just want you to listen very carefully. In verse 38, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death," listen to that, "nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing. John said, "Brethren, I write these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life." Isn't there a joy of knowing that tonight? My children, they don't know what they're going to do in life. They have no clue. When I was their age, I had even a less clue than they did. They got plans. They know what they hope to do. They know what they'd like to do. But they don't know what's going to happen. They have no idea. But one thing they do know, if they believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven when that life is over with. They have eternal life. So what is salvation tonight? What is knowing? And I mean knowing without an absolute shred of doubt, without fear, without hesitation. If someone off the street would come up to you just out of the middle of nowhere and say, "Tell me how you know that if you die today, you're going to heaven. How do you know? How can you be for sure?" There really should be no hesitation to that. "Well, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and my pastor bore witness with me the truth of eternal life, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And because He died for my sins, and I believed on His name for my salvation and accepted His forgiveness for my sins, I'm going to heaven. I wasn't chosen over the other bloke on the street. I wasn't picked out between 7.4 billion people in the world. The offer is unto everyone." So salvation tonight and having the joy of knowing is extended to everyone, but it is a very, very, very exclusive club. All right? It's a club that only those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ belong to. Yet everyone can join. You just got to believe in the name of the Son of God. Salvation and having the joy of knowing tonight, first and foremost, is a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. Now, I realize that repentance is not preached very often in the world today. Preachers seem to shy away. They seem to be a little bit afraid of preaching on repentance. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Peter said, "Save yourself from." That is the act of repentance. The word repentance is not only a twofold definition, but the word repentance means to turn away from. Okay, meaning you're turning unto another. It's a change of a heart, mind, and direction. Romans 1:1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." When Paul was saved, he was separated unto the gospel of God. I like what Paul said over in Acts chapter 17 as he stood before the educated elite there in Athens, and he told them very clearly when they were worshiping this false god. He says over there in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, he says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now guys, listen, if all men everywhere have to repent to have the joy of knowing, that means there wasn't a group of people over here that was pre-selected from the foundation of the world. They were going to. If you're already pre-selected, you don't need to repent from anything, amen? But this over here, what he said, all men everywhere, there was a time when God winked at the ignorance of men. The word ignorance only means, it doesn't mean stupidity, it means just lack of knowledge. That's it. Lack of knowledge. It's not even a derogatory term, in all fairness, ignorance is not. There was a time when God winked at the ignorance of mankind, and I can tell you when He winked at them, when Jesus Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He winked at their ignorance in that night. He winked at their ignorance the day that Christ hung on the cross and pled before mankind, before the throne of heaven. But he's not winking any longer. And he commands all mankind, every woman and child, every man on this earth today, commands them to repent. And they have a choice to either accept that truth and repent or not. Salvation is a call, guys. The joy of knowing is, number one, brought about by accepting a call to repentance. And number two, salvation, or the joy of knowing eternal life tonight, is a call unto rest. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden." And he says, "I'll give you what?" What did he say he's going to give you? "I'll give you rest." He said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light." Man, I've had some heavy weights on me where you just don't think you can. You ever carry something and the weight is so heavy, or maybe you're carrying your wife's suitcases or whatever they are, and they're so heavy that you can't keep them out. They just go to center, so you can't get your legs. It's like you're walking on a tightrope and you're like a penguin trying to get through the airport or trying to get into the house, and you just want to be able to put them down. Christ's burden is not that heavy. He says, my burden's light. It's easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And here's why it is. He's carrying it for us. And he's carrying it with us. Thirdly, I'll tell you tonight what the joy of knowing should bring in your life. Number one, it's brought about by repentance. Salvation without repentance is impossible. A person cannot be saved without turning away from something and unto him. Now, I understand, depending on how old a person was saved, that level of repentance is a very different thing. But there is still a change of heart and mind to bring about that conversion, that you've changed and you've accepted that reality of knowing now that Jesus Christ died for your sins, or you've accepted something that maybe you have known before, but now you've accepted it as a reality. So salvation is brought about, or the joy of knowing is brought about, through that act of repentance toward Christ. It brings about a rest in our life. The joy of knowing should rest our hearts. If I was to ask my oldest son right now if he's nervous about his future, he probably would tell you yes. If he's got any sense at all, he would tell you yes. Because any 18-year-old should be nervous, because they just don't know what direction, you know. And right now, there's a time in your life to where you're going to make a decision in your life that is going to affect the rest of your days here. But the eternal question and the eternal decision is the very one tonight that changes eternity. And the reality is this: 20 years on earth at the end of our days is not going to amount to a hill of beans. So what really matters is that which lies on the eternal side. And that should be brought about with rest, because you know where you're going. So the joy of knowing is brought about through an act of repentance, believing on Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It brings about rest in your heart. But guys, it should give you a drive to reach. To reach. Now, if I was going to ask you a definition of what it means to reach, or what it means to reach out, more than likely, in the middle of you trying to define the very word reach, you know what you probably would do? You would make this motion. Even involuntarily, not even thinking it. Well, reach means to reach out. You would actually say it and you would do it. You probably would have to have someone hold your hands down by your side not to mimic what reaching out means. But that is what it is. It's reaching out. Now, you receive something in your life that is so great, so wonderful, so exciting, so joyful to bring rest in your life through repentance. Man, don't you want everybody else to know? These multi-marketing schemes out there to where people can get in on the ground level. No one gets in on the ground level. That's a lie. But, you know, get in on the ground level and then take your five closest friends. You're not going to be friends with them after you take them. But you take your five closest friends, you reach out to them. And if you sign those five up, then they sign five up and they sign. Man, it's a marketing genius. And people have made lots of money off of that. It's just the only ones that make the money are the ones who start it. And somehow they're always on the ground level. The idea of salvation is the same thing. You reach out to those closest to you. those that you can grab a hold of, those that you can have an impact in their life, those that you are around to and you are close with, those that you can reach out and contact and touch to bring to them the same joy that you have of knowing, of being able to rest, being able to lay your head down at night and say, you know what, if I don't make it through this evening, if I take my last breath in the middle of this night this evening, I'm going to wake up in the arms of Christ. Guys, that's the joy of knowing. Because you can lose your job. You can lose your family. You can lose every bit of money that you may have. But you can't lose your salvation when it's given to you. You can't lose your salvation and eternal life when Christ has given it to you. I was reading one of my morning devotions this morning, and the verse has already slipped my mind. But he said, surely, money, basically, wealth, will have wings or grow wings like a dove and fly away. We've read it before. I can't quote it off the top of my head right now. But speaking about those that trust in riches, surely riches shall grow wings like a dove and fly away. We can't put our trust in riches. You can't put your trust in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the joy of knowing tonight that you have eternal life. But that same joy you're going to want to give to others. Nobody in here would be sadistic enough, and I shudder almost to use that word because it's a fairly harsh word. But if I withhold the joy that I enjoy so much in my life of knowing from those that are around me, that's evil. Is it not? People I call my best mates, my loved ones, the ones that I'm around, if I withhold that joy from them, I mean, wouldn't you say that's evil? The Lord's given me a message I want to hopefully preach on Sunday. And it ventures around that thought, that idea. I'll give you just a taster on it. Can you imagine a society of people, a body of people, a group of people that withheld the ability to read to their people because they were afraid that they would learn the truth? Wouldn't you agree with me tonight that that would be sadistic if I refused someone to speak English, learn English, so that they'd never open up this King James Bible and learn the truth of eternal life? Right? That would be wicked, wouldn't you agree? Almost the same thing in refusing it to ever be printed in the language that it was written in. Think about that for a second. We'll cover that hopefully on Sunday. Paul said give attendance to reading. You wonder why Catholic Church and other institutions were so dogmatic on the Bible being in Latin only at that time, or Greek. Why would they want to keep it in a dead language that the world was speaking no longer? Yeah. I'll stop there as I don't want to give away the rest of the sermon. But guys, think about this. We have the joy of knowing tonight. Should not we want everyone else to know as well? Shouldn't we want them to have that joy? David, what kind of drink is that right there? Is that the same one that Mike likes so much? That thing that tastes like bubble gum?
Well, this one tastes like cream soda.
Okay, well, the one that you gave me tastes like licking the road outside. It was nasty. It was disgusting. But supposedly when, you know, I got it, oh, this stuff is great, Dad. Mike drinks it all the time. And him, Shelly, I'm like, all right, Pop. And I drink, and I was like, I mean, it was terrible. But to you, it tasted delicious, didn't it? It was great. So you know what? He wanted his dad to taste it. Oh, Dad, you got to get some of those. We was at Pound World or something. So we did. No, we was up there with in Carlisle when we did it. And it was rough, man. It was rough. I mean, but that's me, though, because I'm not a sweet guy. I don't like the sweet sodas and everything. I'm saying that, really, to make this point. He knows I don't like soda, but he likes it so much, he wanted me to taste it. Guys, the joy of knowing, the joy of having this rest in our life this evening should drive us to reach out to others so that they, too, would repent. John 8, verse 36 tells us, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's one of the verses we'll be using come this Sunday morning as well. So lastly tonight, I'm going to ask you this question. This is the bottom line this evening. The bottom line is this. It's concerning salvation, concerning the joy of knowing, concerning our ability and desire to reach out, concerning the need for repentance in order to have and know that you have eternal life, concerning those things in our days tonight that gives us the rest. What happens when we spread the gospel, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when you apply the Word of God into your life, spreading the gospel, the joy of knowing, it's just simply right. It's just right tonight. It's the right thing to do. You know, it's saying that I've used for many years of my life, I don't even know where it came from, but just do right. Just do right. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees because they would strain at a gnat, but they would swallow a camel. That's what he said to them. Those out there in this world today that will, you know, jump all over you and rebuke you for not having the proper tread on your tires, but yet, meanwhile, behind doors, they're stealing things. Straining at a gnat, swallow a camel. The Holy Scripture. Believing the gospel tonight. Believing in the Word of God. Having that rest, having that joy, and reaching out to others that they may receive it as well, it's just the right thing to do. To surrender to Christ is simply just the right thing to do. When Paul said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's our day, as Christians, it's our time to do the right thing before God for our fellow man. We live in a world today that is bent on trying to do the right thing for every other group and every subgroup and every suborganization and every subcell, everything. Let's just do the right thing for our fellow man. Let's do the right thing for our neighbors. It was Cain who said unto God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the answer is this: yes, we are. We are responsible for those that are around us. We are responsible for those that we go to school with, those that we play ball with, work out with, that we live next door to, those that we're related to. We are responsible to reach out to them because it's just the right thing that they too may repent, that they too may get the rest and know they have eternal life. The joy of knowing this evening. Paul said, "I'm a debtor." Paul looked at the world and said, "I owe the world a debt." He says, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." So I say to you tonight in closing, John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Very exclusive group here. One particular body of people he's speaking unto, and he's speaking unto those that know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." Knowing tonight comes through repentance, but it grants you rest. It should encourage you to reach out to others. And guys, it's just the right thing to do tonight, to spread that joy that Christ has given us in our life, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life. You bow your heads this evening. Father, we thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for this time together. And we just pray this evening, Lord, that you would please open up the bowels of heaven. And pray that you please would just pour out your grace upon us continually. Lord, your mercies endure forever, and they are new every morning. And Lord, I thank you for that. So I come to you this evening, Lord, with just an open heart, asking you, Father, to help us be rivers of life flowing into people's lives. Lord, help us take this joy that we have of just knowing the absolute truth and share it into the lives of others. Father, we can only do so much. We can only shed and have a testimony and share the precious word. I ask you tonight, I pray that you would intervene. I pray, dear God, that you would send the Holy Spirit down to those that not only on our prayer list, but those that we pray for at nighttime and daytime, and those that we are involved with on a daily basis. Father, I pray that you would send forth the Holy Spirit and open up their heart and their mind to the truth tonight. Please, Father, we ask in Christ's precious and wonderful name these things. Amen. Amen. The joy